I'm Lou Conran.
And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who've been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that we know nothing about the drinks that we love to quaff, and that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor out there that we are not acquainted with.
And as we hate missing out, we thought we'd invite some celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us while we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
And it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet on a Monday night.
Heaven forbid. So, Lou, we have to do a little add-on message, don't we?
Yes, Sally hyphen Hayward. This is an add-on message to the beginning of this episode.
Yes, because, well, it's exciting because you are going on honeymoon.
And I've had to prep myself for first time ever having coitus. Now I'm married.
So, yes.
So I've got to take a little break for myself to understand what that means for my body and my mind and my spirit.
And also I'm going to Australia, and last time we tried to record when I was in Australia, it was an absolute shambles, wasn't it? So we thought, let's be clear, let's not do it half-hearted, let's take a little break and come back with fantastic guests and come back consistently weekly, and it's going to be all exciting. And
we've got her hand, so she really means it. Yes.
So we're going to have a tiny break of a few weeks. It's only a few weeks, isn't it? And then back aplomb with that word.
Oh, you really punched your fist when you said that. So let's end this add-on message. Let's go to this episode.
Brilliant.
Let's talk to them at the end, shall we, Sally?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Enjoy.
And I am Sally Ann Hayward.
We're a pair of comedians who have been known to enjoy an alcoholic beverage or 10 over the years, and sometimes separately, sometimes together.
But it's occurred to us that, unbelievably, there will be some types of liquor that we are not acquainted with.
Oh, and as we hate missing out, we thought that we'd invite some of our celebrity pals to recommend their go-to tipple and drink along with us whilst we make them dish the most embarrassing booze-related tales.
And then we give our honest verdict if we are going to spit or swallow. So if it's gross, we drank it so you don't have to.
Oh, and it's definitely not just an excuse to open up the drinks cabinet every flipping night.
Heaven forbid. Hello, Lou.
Hiya, Sal. All right?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's sort of Saturday afternoon, isn't it, at the moment?
It?
We're doing an impromptu Saturday record, aren't we?
We are, aren't we?
We don't often do this.
No, Sally, oh my God, it's like you've just stepped out of a salon. Have you had your hair done?
Oh, I've had my hair cut.
Oh.
You got those scissors out. You know those ones you think, oh, you've cut enough off. You don't need to, those scissors where it kind of cuts into it and doesn't,
like, you know. Yeah.
I don't know how that, because I was like, they're impressive. So it just cuts kind of, not chunks out, bits out, but it looks as though he's about to slice all of it off.
I bought a pair of those.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
And I think
you can imagine what happened with that, Sally, so we'll just crash on from that. Yeah.
It's your new phrase, that, isn't it? Crash on.
I don't know why I keep saying it. Do you know, it's because I'm so tired and I've got no other words in my head. That's what it is.
I know you're working tonight, Lou. Are you working tomorrow?
I am, I'm doing an hour-long show tomorrow.
Whereabouts? Where am I
in Stourbridge.
Not too far.
Last night, it was my first gig back after the wedding, and I couldn't remember anything. I thought, I don't know who I am, and I don't know what I'm saying. So tonight, I'm hoping that something comes back to me tonight, and I'm hoping tomorrow I can fulfill my obligation to fulfill an hour. So I can't even say words properly, Sally.
Is it a tour show? Is it a work in progress show?
It's a tour show, but my tour shows, no two shows have been the same, Sally.
No, I can imagine.
Yeah.
It's an hour with Lou and how she feels.
Just talking shit mostly. Yeah.
I bet it's brilliant though. I bet it's very funny. You told me you got a standing ovation, didn't you?
Oh, I think probably just people needed to get to the car park quick before the main show.
I think they probably stood up because they loved you and found you very funny.
Fanny, are you being nice to me?
It feels really weird. So anyway, about that money I want to ask you to lend me.
All right, okay.
I'm going to go to Bath tonight to do a stand-up comedy gig for the people of Bath and the surrounding areas and visitors as well of Bath tonight. That's what I'm doing.
I think you've inhaled far too many fumes in the hairdressers.
I did. And then... I don't know what's happening
anymore. We're just two women hanging on to life, aren't we?
I know, I did a tour show last night in Portsmouth. And I drove there and I was planning to arrive at 5:30. And then there was a big crash. I don't know, because there was all of a sudden very static cars. And we were all taken off the motorway and then brought back on. So I got there at 7:30 for a show that started at 8:00. So I got there on time.
Oh, gosh.
But it was touch and go. That's what, as to whether I was going to make my own show.
What was in the main house?
I don't know that there was anything on in the main house, actually, because I went and used the loo in the big reception area and it was all kind of roped off. So I think unusual for a Friday. So it was me. Yeah. I had the whole building to myself.
Oh, yeah. When I was there in Portsmouth.
Well, there were people there watching, I might add. There was an audience. Sorry, it wasn't me. were there what?
Diversity were in the main house. So there was lots of screaming adolescent women. Like desperate to get their photo. Yeah, they were all queuing up outside. And I was like, is that the queue to get into my show? I was like, oh my God, they're queuing really early. And then someone went, no diversity here. I was like, God damn.
You got marriage in your show, because a lady in the audience last night said to me, we came to see Lou a few weeks ago. And I went, and she said, and actually I stood up and married her and her beloved.
She was so lovely. She conducted a service, and then we were like, "Are we actually married now?" She was like, "No, don't worry."
Did you find out about her? She was with a bloke called Mark, and they met. Did you find out they split up? Her and her partner, and him and his partner. They all lived on the same street. Her and her partner split up. She moved to Kent. He moved to Norfolk or something. And then in lockdown, she was still in touch with this guy who lived on the street. So they got back together. She moved back to her street, but into his house. The ex is obviously now long gone. And I was like, oh, so you live back on your old street, but with somebody else. And she went, yeah.
Wow. Oh, my God. They were so lovely. Oh, yeah. People's lives interesting.
I know. Ooh, I love it.
Segue to George Lewis.
Oh, he's had the perfect life. He tells us he's born at the perfect time, having the perfect life.
Slightly smug, really. Yeah. Thanks.
Hello, Lou. Hello. Hello, George Lewis. Gone straight in. Straight.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Oh, thanks for coming to the bar.
Oh, Sally's like really going into the new kind of method of doing stuff now. She's gone straight in. Thanks for coming to the bar, because this is what we are.
Oh, is the method. We're in the bar. It's lovely in here.
Oh, isn't it? Sorry about the smell of piss by the door, but that's Sally for you.
Do you like what we've done with the walls?
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's trendy, but it's... there's an atmosphere.
Well, there's always an atmosphere because there's loads of menopausal women in here. Of course there's an atmosphere, George. Of course. Yeah.
I'd say it's retro now, the bar, wouldn't you? Because we're going for that sports bar look of the 90s. That's what we're going for.
Oh, is that what we're going for, Sal?
Those carpets where you can't see where people have spilled things, that. Uh-huh. Maybe it's the 80s, I don't know, but that's what we're going for.
Okay.
Oh, I love that. I like that, because that's where I actually am. I've got my darts board here as well.
Yes.
Well, that fits.
Are you very good at darts, George?
I'm not as good as I want to be. I had it in my head that I was just going to come up here, practice for like 3 hours a day, and I'd turn professional, but I don't really do it. I've never been. I absolutely love to go.
I'll go with you. I plan on going every year and I never go. I'll go. I think we should go to Lakeside.
And dress up.
Yeah, of course.
Dress up as what? Yeah. What would you dress up as?
Anything.
Yeah, I think you sort of need a big... It's good when you've got a big group and you're all, like... Well, I don't know. You see a lot of Smurfs and stuff. That's quite good, I guess.
Oh, I'd love
it. I love his ideas, whatever.
Do you know what I think we should dress up as? I think we should go dressed up as Eric Bristow, John Lowe, Jockey Wilson.
Yeah.
Like the old ones. That's what we should do.
Can I impart an interesting fact here for you? That Eric Bristow used to live in the town that I live in. So there you go.
Did he?
Yeah. There were some other facts, but I wasn't listening to those when they were being told to me. But there's but he lived here for quite some time. And he may
you can't
have
prove
even,
it, can you?
I can't.
Because he's dead.
He's dead, yeah. So sorry about that.
You can say anything about it.
I could do. No, he's actually my dad. Well, Jeff Capes is my dad. He doesn't play darts, does he? So, no. But there you
anyway.
Go.
Anyway, we're drifting now. We're drifting,
but that's
aren't
what
we, guys?
When we go into the bar.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you drift, don't you? You drift. George Lewis, tell us your drink of choice. Let's crack on with that. What's your drink of choice?
Well, this is. I was thinking about this, and I wanted something more interesting. But to be honest, the drink of choice that I usually go for is just like it's the trendy IPAs that come in like Lou's holding one up there. So, yeah, they usually come in like a brightly coloured can. And it's, I feel like my drinking habits now, so if I'm going out for a big day out, I'll just drink lager and maybe gin and tonic and maybe rum and coke towards the end. But if I'm at home and I'm having a smaller amount, I'll have IPAs because they're really nice if you're having a few.
Mm-hmm.
But not if you're having too many. I feel like I get a very bad hangover.
Do you get bloated if you have too many? I get bloated with too many of those, that sort of gassy drink.
Oh, no. Well, bloated is a thing that I've never really... My wife's often talked about getting bloated. I don't know if it's a thing that men don't... I don't know if it happens as much to men, but it's not something we talk about.
It does. My gentleman caller is always bloated. Oh, I shouldn't have drunk that beer because it's made me bloated. You've had 10 pints, so that's probably why, isn't it, really? Yeah. Yeah,
it's true though, isn't it? Men don't really talk about. Not many men talk about being bloated, do they? But women always do, don't we? I think it dates back to when we were drowned. If we were, you know, to find out if we were witches.
Mm.
I think the witches that floated to the top. It was just a bit of bloating. I don't think it was that they were evil.
We were definitely witches, though, weren't we, Sally? Definitely.
Well, we still are, I'd argue, Lou.
Yeah, I reckon.
So an IPA you've brought to the bar. I'm really getting into this whole atmosphere at the bar now.
I can't
you?
Hardly
leave
really... because it's so busy in here, Sally.
And you get on with serving, okay. Lou. You get on with
this
serving.
This is what I'm serving is a Brewdog Hazy Jane, which I think we may have had before with somebody, but this is what I had left in the old cabinet. And this is a New England IPA. It's a 5%.
Yeah, that's about the right number, I'd say, for one of them.
Yeah.
Do you like those? Is it Beaver Town, those ones that...
Yeah.
They're the really... they look like each can's been painted individually, aren't they?
Yeah.
That's your go-to if you were going to be at home drinking. You'd get your colourful cans
in. Yeah, I like the ones that look like they've been made by... an independent brewery when actually, you know, they're owned by Heineken.
Does
Beavertown do like the ones, the candy floss flavours or the marshmallow ones?
Oh,
or...
so you get those ones which are, the one that I'm thinking of is Tiny Rebel. They make loads of really weird stuff. They're a Welsh company. I got two into them over lockdown. With all the mad flavours, and it's just a bit too much.
I think I've done a gig at a bar called Tiny Rebel. That must be the same. It must be, mustn't it?
Yeah, it's in Cardiff. There's a bar. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. They didn't give me any beer. I know.
I did a gig in Roosters Brewery in Harrogate, And
did they give you beer?
I made them. I said to them, I do a podcast about booze, so therefore you should give me all of your booze and I will talk about it on the podcast. And we never did up until this point. Oh, Rooster Brewery, Harrogate, delicious. Thank you.
What is that, a nice gig, Luke?
Yeah, lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely gig.
I'm doing that this month.
Oh, it's great. You'll have a great time. Just see what you can blag. Okay. And if you can blag any more than I did, then I'll be well impressed.
Yeah, yeah. Then I'll have to start a podcast.
So what was your training drink when you were growing up? What was your go-to choice and how old were you?
Oh, I think I probably started drinking quite young. People in school drank really young. So as soon as you're in secondary school, I think you're experimenting with alcohol. I remember the first time I drank with my mates at school was when we went to Alton Towers, and it must have been really early on in secondary school, so year 7 or year 8. And we all said, oh, we'll all bring along some alcohol. And all I could find at home was gin. And the only thing I could put it in was, do you remember when you used to have cameras that had films? They'd come in like a little black, container thing.
Yeah, the little grey lid.
Yeah, exactly. So I filled up them with my mum's gin.
Amazing.
And took them to Alton Towers. Just gin on its own.
Your mum's
Alton
gin.
Alton Towers was grim.
On the nemesis, kind of whack back a gin. Yeah,
exactly. And then we were doing that thing where you're pretending to be drunk, but then just feeling sick. I think after that, it was just anything. I think vodka was the thing that most people would have got at that time. I remember the first time I had straight vodka. I think I always had it in me to try and drink a lot or just show everyone that I was drinking a lot. So I remember the first time I had like straight vodka, I had like half a plastic cup and I thought, I'll just down it because I'm good at downing things. And I did it. And then immediately, and I've never had this since, but immediately I felt like my whole neck seized up. I was like, oh my God. And then just threw up immediately everywhere. And I was like, oh, yeah. But yeah, after that, everything really.
Did you have quite a boozy kind of sort of going out into town with your friends kind of youth?
Yeah. The problem was I was very young looking.
Still are.
So everyone was going, well, thank you.
But we don't know how old he is, Lou. Yeah. He could only be 16 now.
Yeah.
And then you look terrible, if I'm honest. But
yeah. Yeah, so I always struggled because I was like smaller and I never looked older, so all my mates were going out and I used to hang around with some older lads as well. So they could legally go out before I could. So I was really behind, but it was a wonderful time where people had IDs, but it was a bit of a wild west. Like, you could use ones that you'd got off the internet and stuff like that. So I had a fake one. So I went out when I was, 14, 15 and stuff with a fake ID and my older mates. So, yeah, I got out quite a bit. But I remember even being out in places and people looking at me going, why is this child in the bar?
That's really funny.
I loved going out. It was my favourite thing. And then, yeah, go to college and uni even more.
Yeah, carry on. What do they do now with ID, though? And is it really strict for the kids these days?
I'd imagine it's a lot more strict. Although one of the things that I did, because it was always like, I remember it got to the point where it's like, oh, it's only passports and driving licences. But I... What's the film with Leonardo DiCaprio where
Titanic.
He fakes things?
Oh, where he what?
Yeah. Where he like, is it The Aviator? Where he fakes.
Oh, the, yeah, where he's just the con man and he goes around and he's all those different people.
Yes, it's a good film.
Yeah. And his dad always says to him, to the moon. That's what I was remembering from that. But anyway, I'd watched that and I thought, oh, I bet I could be good at, like, fraud. So I found that the programs that you got at Man United at that time, the font that they used on the stats from the week before was the exact same font and size as a driving license.
Oh, wow.
So I cut out with a little scalpel, put out the tiny little numbers and changed my birth year.
Wow.
And then it was like I'd get the paper and then kind of split it in half in a way that made it thinner. So, you know, like rip the back off so it was so thin, and then get the thickest, the widest piece of sellotape so it covered the entire, so it was like I was laminating the front of the driving license. And then I had this driving license which was just got me in everywhere.
Wow.
When I was underage.
That is dedication. Wow. Isn't it? That is absolutely,
that's really yeah, fiddly work. Is that the driving licenses as they are now, the little plastic cards, or was it when they were paper?
This is cards, yeah. This is when they were cards, although I think the ones now are better because they've got like holograms on them or something. Well, so then, I bet it's, yeah, more difficult now.
Do you know?
Because of people like,
I mean,
you.
I feel like...
Was that you?
Well, exactly.
Was that your only fraud?
I feel like a lot of people...
Your only fraud, George.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I shouldn't be impressed, should I? But I think that patience that you must have had to do that, and
it was so worth it. And it was so, a lot of people always talk about being born at the wrong time. I feel like I was born at the perfect time for me. It was like,
never hear people
that was
say
just
that.
A window,
yeah,
where you could get away with that.
Did you,
yeah,
use tweezers? And put it on as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like a proper criminal.
Exactly.
Really, wow, really,
yeah,
intricate.
Like.
There was
you could have put that brain to something worthwhile. That's what you always think with criminals, don't you think? I remember they used to be able to, I'd heard rumour that criminals could get credit card details off the inside of videotapes or something like that. That's what they, you think. God,
yeah.
Who worked that out? And why don't they, why aren't they like running a huge company?
Don't you remember when a comedian who shall remain nameless did a gig on a Virgin train and then got a few first class free Virgin tickets, and then they I don't know, did something, photoshopped them and then printed loads off and gave loads to loads of people. And I had like 10 of these. He'd put them onto like the exact sort of milligram of paper.
Yeah.
He'd copied them perfectly, and loads of us were traveling first class on Virgin before
having a lovely time,
yeah, with all the free
people. I love that when it's sticking it
to the man,
a company,
yeah,
like Virgin, like,
yeah,
that's the time, especially train tickets for like private companies. I would always do that, try and not to that extent, but just, you know, immediately rub off the stamp as soon as they've stamped it,
yeah,
and then you can use it again or whatever. I always just thought that is just a victimless crime. In fact, it's better than a victimless crime.
It's clever.
Getting one back.
Yeah, it's clever. They're always ripping us off. Let's do it. Let's get it back to them.
Yeah.
Fuck
yeah,
you, the masses.
Yeah. George.
Yeah.
Oh, Lou's about to speak.
No,
she was about to go off on one.
No, I wasn't, actually. No. I was just going to say, give us some drunk stories, George.
Oh, it's just, it's as if we are the same person.
Isn't
I was going
it?
To ask that as well.
Yeah.
Give us some drunk stories, George.
I will. I'll go to somewhere that's far enough in the distance that it's like it's a different person. So
well, you practically could be, because,
you know,
we don't know whether you're the real George now, because you could have been fraudulently somebody else.
It's a conman.
Yeah,
exactly.
You might
Leonardo
have,
DiCaprio in a mask.
You might have killed George Lewis, and you might be wearing his pelt.
Oh,
his pelt.
Yeah.
All this.
Oh, that. Skin.
Yes,
the outside,
it's the skin and the
yeah,
fur and
the fascia, all the fascias involved.
Yeah, oh god.
As we were,
Sally's really thought about that.
I think the
pelt would I wear?
The story that I tell is my 18th birthday. So by this point, I was already, as we've discussed, I'd already been drinking for a long time, and I was pretty into it. But nowhere near knew my limits. In fact, it took me another 10 years to even get close to knowing what they were as well. But at this point, it was like just so excited. And I managed to keep that excitement for so long with drinking. I just so excited to drink, so much so that I'd always get too drunk. But on my 18th birthday, I remember it, I went out with my dad. He wanted to take me out for like my first legal drinks, and I never drank with my dad before I was 18. I drink with my stepdad, but with my dad, we just never had a drink. So he wanted this to be like a special afternoon. But I'd also booked to go and see Oasis in Manchester in the evening with all my mates. It just happened to fall on my birthday. So I was like, perfect. So I went out with my dad in the afternoon and just got, even now, I can't drink, you know, the beer Leffe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that sort of Belgian beer, isn't it? Kind of.
Yeah, it's quite a strong Belgian beer. Mm. And we were drinking that. And even now, I can taste it just thinking about it now. Because I'd just drank too much of that, and it was so strong. And my dad had dropped me back off at Piccadilly Station. And I don't even remember that. I remember my mates were all at my house in Stockport. My mum was there, and she was like, I don't know where he is. And they had to drive to the station, and someone else, because I used to work in a pub, someone who just recognised me from the pub that I worked in had found me on the train because she was going home from work, and she was like looking after me. So then I got to Stockport station, and then my mates and my mum were there in the car and drove me back to our house, and then I sort of must have come around a little bit and I was all right again. So then we got ready for the gig. So we went to Oasis and it was brilliant, but like really drunk. I lost one of my shoes at the start of the gig.
So at the start?
I was brilliant. Like, yeah. And I was like, even though I was so drunk that I wasn't that bothered, but I would have been like, oh, we're meant to make a big night of this. It's going to be that. I can't go out if I've only got one shoe.
Oh, you'd never be a good woman, George. We're always losing our shoes. Yeah.
So that was how. So we watched the whole gig with me just with one trainer on, but it was a really sunny day, and I don't even remember it being uncomfortable. And then at the end, I remember it was a brown Adidas shoe because we were asking everyone at the end, we were going, has anyone seen a brown Adidas shoe? But we were doing it in a Colin Murray accent because he introduced Oasis that night. So we were just shouting these impressions of Colin Murray. And then someone went, a brown Adidas shoe? Yeah, I've got one. And they just had my shoe. So after hours, I'd got this shoe back. So I was like, this is the perfect night. So I was like, right, now we need to go big. So the concert had finished at this point. So then we walked into Manchester and went to this club that we always used to go to called Fifth Avenue, which is like a student indie club. So we went there, and in there, it's like such cheap drink. So we always used to go in there and we always used to drink what we call, like, it was an invented cocktail called a High Five, which was five vodka Red Bulls in a pint glass as one. So we're like, one of them, and then you're into it. And anyway, I know it's horrible now, I didn't think of that. So we're on the High Fives, and then I don't know how soon into the evening, I don't remember anything else after that. So I found out the rest of it the next day. So what had happened was I'd passed out outside of Fifth Ave. And like I say, at this point, I'll just remind you that this is so far in the distance that it's like it's a different person. If this had happened recently, I'd be so ashamed.
Here we go.
Own it, George. Own it.
That's the caveat, is it?
So what had happened is I'd passed out outside, an ambulance had been called.
Oh.
I'd been taken to Salford Royal Hospital. And then what happened next was my mum was phoned by the police who were at the hospital. I don't know if they were there anyway or they were there because of me, but they'd phoned them saying, you've got to come and get your son because he's at hospital and he's taking a piss in the waiting room.
Oh my God.
And then this was all told to me by my mum the next day. And it was just like, oh man. But my mum is so good in those situations because she's not like, She didn't shout at me or anything like that. She never made me feel too. She realised how bad I felt for it, and she's very much the type of mum who's like, we all do this type of thing. Like, not exactly that type of thing, but she's like, we all, you know. So she was really good. She never went in too hard on me. But I remember after that for a bit, I felt a bit like, Oh, come on, mate, get a grip.
Imagine if you'd have... If you'd have, like, the police had rung your mum and said, look, unfortunately, George has just got too pissed and he's passed away, but we need you to come and identify the body. And she'd go, well, is he wearing a brown Adidas shoes? And they'd be like, yeah, well, one. And she'd go, well, that's George.
That's George.
No need to come in.
Exactly.
Hospitals must see so many cases. Like when you said you were pissing in the hospital, I bet you weren't the first that night to piss in the hospital waiting room. I remember when I...
No, exactly.
My friend had to go to hospital once when, like, we were out in Oxford and we were just really pissing. He kind of... I don't know if we went in an ambulance or a taxi. I can't remember. He was just feeling terrible. So we went. He had these stomach things. And I was so drunk. And all I remember is I found a wheelchair. I mean, it must have been so annoying to the hospital staff. Just, oh, God, another one. And all I did was just, he was in a little room chatting to the doctor. And me and somebody, I can't remember who else was there. And all I was doing was wheeling around the waiting room going, driving Miss Daisy. And I just kept saying it. I just remember that then going, fried green tomatoes at the Whistle Stop Cafe. I was getting films mixed up. And I just, like, looking back, I thought I was hilarious because my friend said he was in this in this little room cabin, little area where they were, investigating him, talking to him. And he just kept seeing me go past the curtain in the wheel. Check and drive it, Miss Daisy. Hospital staff. Oh, but
yeah, I know that's what you think now, isn't it?
But your mum's got the right idea. Her boy was having some fun,
but Sally,
he's alive.
You would do that now, though, wouldn't you?
I would, yeah. I would. Yeah, you're right. I would.
I know. Sally got very competitive at my wedding and was playing pool with people and then...
Undefeated.
And then it was decided by my mate Susu that Sally looked like one of those flippy things, you know, that you stick to the wall and then they flip down the wall like
I had
that.
A black jumpsuit on.
Yeah.
I'll send you the photo.
With the rubber feet and...
I'm going to find the photo and hold it up to the screen, actually.
But then Sally then didn't tell me once that this is what she looked like. She told me about six times. She stood against the wall going, I look like one of those flip things that you...
And then I'm going
to... That's very good, because you've managed to make your arms and legs do the thing that those things do, where they're the exact same length.
We'll told Lou a lot of times.
She did. We'll post Sally's pictures on our, I don't know, maybe after hours we'll tell you how to get those pictures.
Access those photos.
If anybody actually wants to see Sally looking like an absolute twat against a wall, telling everybody, I look like, look, wear one of those flippy things. I'm an undefeated champion. Yeah, Sally, we know.
I always have to have a purpose at a party. I always have to have a job at a party. My job was the undefeated champion on the pool table. I keep saying that, but
your job was to dominate.
That's really Sally. Was. And do you know what? She cleaned up. You were great, Sally. So, you know,
you were watching.
I wasn't. I was off. What was I doing? Oh, I was getting married, wasn't I? Yeah, sorry. But Sally like a wine, Sally has improved with age.
I am like a bottle of wine. I've got my long neck. Look.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. You are like a bottle
Dust
of wine.
Dust me off if you want to touch me. And I can fill five glasses.
Hey! Oh.
That is actually one of my jokes.
Is it?
Isn't that awful that I crowbarred a joke into my own podcast?
Oh, Sally, I'm so disappointed in you.
I know, but I'll put a marker on it so Mikey knows to cut it out.
Yeah, no, he's got to keep
crazy.
It in now because I want people
too
to realise what I have to work with. George, on a different note.
Oh, she's got a question. Question, George.
So you said you went to uni, did you? What uni did you go to?
Can you hear that?
Sheffield,
Sorry.
Alan.
Medihim.
Oh, yeah, I could hear like
I'm going to turn my dehumidifier off. It's just suddenly come on. You carry on, Sheffield. Hang on. I want to hear it. Oh no,
it's because Sally's now got. She's got so excited. She's made herself damp, and now the dehumidifier is picking up on it.
It's kicked in.
So you went to Sheffield Hallam, and what did you do at uni?
I did graphic design.
Shit off! Did you?
Now it's coming together. It's coming together though with the little, you know, doing the graphics with the driving license.
Oh yeah, actually, good point. Yeah, I never made that connection. Yeah,
started early, didn't you?
So was there a good social scene in Sheffield? I would imagine there would be, wouldn't there?
Absolutely.
Did you go to Hallam or was it the other
one? Yeah, Hallam. Yeah.
What a great uni to go to.
Yeah, it was a perfectly pitched university experience, because Hallam was like the non-serious one, and I was at like the art school bit. And the way that my course worked, I assume they might have corrected this since, but you knew going in that your entire degree only came from the marks that you got in the third year.
Oh.
So for the first 2 years, it didn't count for anything.
Great.
As long as you got above 40% to get to the next year, that's all you needed to do. So I just thought, right, I get 40% or 45% both years, and I can take the rest of the time off. So I was barely in at all.
Brilliant.
And we just went out all the time, really. It was like, again, I mean, I know, but I feel like I can imagine it's very easy to go to the wrong university and wish you went somewhere else. And I know that happens a lot, and that must be so shit. But I just remember thinking, this is such a good choice, just at the time of my life.
You've had a great life. Everything's perfectly pitched for you. What years were you at uni at Sheffield?
It was, what years would it have been? Because it was when Arctic Monkeys were new.
Amazing. See, what a time.
I know. I feel like, I keep saying how charmed my life has been. I did loads of shit points as well, but, you know, that's not for the,
that's not the
mood of the podcast.
No. this is...
But just for anyone listening, I think. What year would that have been? So
would that have been 92, 93, would it have been?
No, he's younger than that. This is the noughties, I'm thinking, is it?
Oh.
Yeah, but it's about monkeys when you...
Yeah, in 92 I was 5.
All right, okay.
So it was like 2005, would that...
That sounds about right, doesn't it?
Yeah, 2005, 2006, 2007.
Sheffield's a great city. I could live there. I love it.
What embarrassing scrapes did you get up to in Sheffield then with your chums? And what was the drink of choice at uni? Was it everything?
I mean, it was everything. But the thing that we had most when we all lived together, so it was like... There was the vodka, the cheapest vodka that you could get from, what was the name of the shop? Anyway, the cheapest vodka that you could get was called Vodcat at the time.
I remember.
And it was really cheap and really horrible. So we had that a lot. And then we used to drink as well Frosty Jack cider.
Oh, yeah.
Which was like 2 or 2.5 litres for a few quid. But we'd always drink that. And then we all developed this, like, cough that just wouldn't go away.
It was like only old when we stopped. Men.
And I think it was the Frosty Jack, because when we stopped drinking that, it all we lost it.
Didn't need to go to a doctor or anything. We just sorted it out for ourselves. We just stopped drinking this poison.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. That's what we. Probably have most, but this was at a time where drinks were like drinks deals at student places were. I've got a poster somewhere around here, it's not up, but it was for Gatecrasher, which was the club, which was basically right next door to where we live. So I live between the Lead Mill, which you both know, and Gatecrasher. So it was just like you're just living in the perfect place to go out, but the drinks were like, I've got a poster somewhere, it's like 80p drinks.
Wow,
so. Yeah. Was like, how can we not?
Yeah. No. And then it doesn't matter if you don't drink it, you just get another one. Doesn't matter, does it? You just I've lost it. I'll go and get another one. Yeah. It's in the ATP.
You're lucky to be alive, George. We're lucky.
Yeah, but George wasn't alive. We had the heyday, though, as women, didn't we, Lou, back in the 80s when Thursday night was ladies' night, wasn't it? Do you remember?
In the 80s, no.
Thursday night was ladies' night, George, in many clubs and pubs, and women could drink for free.
I didn't go out in the 80s. I didn't.
That's like children.
Harvester.
Yeah, I send the kids to the Toby Carberry.
Yeah, they have to lie about their age.
Sally's local pub's like a wacky warehouse. What pub did you go to then, Sally?
It's ladies' night. No, and the feeling's
I never, because I wasn't allowed out. A very strict parentage. So I never.
Oh, she's pretending she's some sort of like downtrodden.
Oh, God. Me and my sister just never went out when we were teenagers because my mum was too strict.
So. Sorry, I'm so horrible.
Yeah, ladies' night. I don't think I ever remember that. Oh, Sally, what a time.
I'm a couple of years older than you, though, aren't I? So yeah. I mean, yeah, but that won't make that much difference, will it? Yeah, drink. That's so funny. Just like kids now. I'm just prove that I was a woman as well. Like kids have to prove their age. I have to show them my vagina.
Yeah. Every time you go up to the bar.
Get a fanny stamp. Just right.
My big 70s bush. I got my pubes really young as well.
I was telling somebody about your pubes the other day, Sally.
Did I? Got them really young. I was at primary school. My brother told everybody. And then people would come up to me and go, no. Sally, have you got a pussy? And I went, yeah, I have, because we had a cat.
Oh.
And they were like, Sally's got a pussy.
Oh, Sally's fan is like a peacock feather. Anyway, there you go.
What, like green and shimmery? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. It's
a terrible description.
No, my name was like the wispy way because you got. Anyway, do you know what? We're very good friends.
And yeah.
Somebody was telling me that you told them about my fanny at your wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Story about how the hairs went to the left.
Just go to the left in a wispy kind of feathery thing. Like if you trap a feather if you trap a feather in a book and the hairs just go one way.
This is like erotica.
Oh no, it's not. There's nothing erotic about it, George. It's just two menopausal old ladies going, "Have you got hair loss?" And Sally goes, "Well, not down there. No, look at this." So that's basically.
Do I get a free drink now?
You get a Capri Sun and a chocolate finger. That's what you get.
We've got to decide. First of all, we've got to ask George if he wants to plug anything. Do you want to plug anything, George? I feel like it's the time to stop this nonsense. You've got books. You've got podcasts. A plenty, haven't you?
Yeah, actually, I've got a book called "Don't Panic: All the Stuff the Expectant Dad Needs to Know." That's about parenting. I've got a podcast with a mate called Jake Lambert, another comedian. It's called "Save It for the Podcast." And actually, this is the perfect time because I'm going to put my tour on sale this week. So
great.
George Lewis.
Go on tour.
Brilliant.
And I guess people can get tickets at georgelewis.com. Is that right? Is that your website? I'm guessing.
I could not afford that website. Someone else has got that
one. Oh, you're joking. Don't go to that one.
Do not buy tickets. Just go find me on Instagram. It's georgelewis.com and all the details are on there.
You're very funny on Instagram. Oh, my phone's ringing.
Oh, do you know what? That's a sign. That's last orders at the pub.
That was last orders, that bell.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but, no, not quite, because we've got to quickly say whether the drink is a spit or a swallow.
Oh, well, it's definitely a swallow from me, because I've had about 48 of these over the last week. So, well done. Yeah, I like it, Arcea.
For me, it's a swallow to begin with, and then after about half a can, it becomes a spit. Not because it's nasty, I've just had enough. It's a bit, they're very flavoursome. I get a bit bored of, there's too many flavours for me. It's too much.
I know what you mean.
I just,
a few pints in, you're a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like eating a fucking orchard sometimes, isn't it, with those IPAs?
I've got one downstairs that I wasn't prepared to open, George, that is an IPA with Marmite. And I,
oh, no.
Yeah, and it's been in the fridge for quite some time, and I think maybe at some point should really open it to see whether it does actually taste of Marmite. But now that's just silly, isn't it? And I love Marmite, but that's just silly.
Ridiculous. That's the bell.
Yeah.
That's the bell gone. That's closing time at the SOS bar.
Oh my God.
But we're gonna put the shutters down. We're gonna have after hours with George Lewis, aren't we? Because we've got more stories to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can see which exotic bird feather my pubes are like.
That was a great episode, wasn't it?
So much fun. So much fun, Sally. But this is an add-on message to the end of this episode, isn't it, Sally? God, it's like we're almost professional, almost.
And so much to say as Lou's going on honeymoon. I'm going to Australia. We're taking a tiny break. It's not as long as the break we had before when we were changing all sorts of stuff. It's just a little one, so that rather than kind of just doing the odd episode and then thinking, oh no, we can't record because I'm in the air or Lou's in the air or whatever. So we'll be back very soon.
However, you've got all of the old episodes to go and have a little listen to if you've not caught up on any of them. The early days, Nick Helm, Sarah Millican, Joe Lycett, Tom Allen.
Jason Manford, Jimmy Carr.
Carol Decker.
Carol Decker. Trevor Simon.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what's his name with the champagne? Oh, my God.
Christopher Biggins.
Oh, go and enjoy all them. And then we'll be back. Love you all. See you soon.
Sally's not even pissed.
I know.
Spit or Swallow is produced by Amanda Redman.
If you want to get in touch with us about what you thought about the drinks that we've tried, or recommendations of your own, or you feel like sharing your worst drunken story with us, then please do.
On Twitter and Insta, we are at Lou and Sally. Facebook and TikTok is Spit or Swallow Podcast. Or email us at spitorswallowpodcast34, that's the numbers 34, @gmail.com.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, then please subscribe and leave us a review, because this helps other people find us.
And if you want to support the podcast, then go to www.patreon.com/spitorswallowpodcast, where you can find some bonus content.
Thanks to Acast for hosting us, but most of all, thanks to you lot for listening.
That's all for now. See you next time.
Bye!